What's good, Desi Hip Hop fam? You are tuned in to the Unfiltered Podcast live on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook. I am your host, DJ Raf, live and direct from the US. And today's episode is actually the first one that is brought to you by Tsunomi, Tsunomi.io. This is the first music distribution service totally focused on South Asia. You know, there weren't any other music distro services that are just solely focused on South Asia before. So Tsunomi.io solved that problem for South Asian artists around the world. So go check it out, Tsunomi.io. But today we have a dope ass plan for this episode. Today we're gonna have two sisters who originally hail from Chennai, India, and they immigrated to Canada at an early age. In 2019, they shot to fame with their first EP, Trappistan, which was followed by numerous singles, some of which were Gunda Gold, Dawood Ibrahim, and a few others. Those singles led to the release of their second EP, Age of the Gunda. So they've been really, racking up a lot of releases and really getting, dropping a lot of dope music for their audience. And in 2020, before Corona kicked all of our asses, they kicked off their first U.S. tour. They toured a number of cities in the U.S. and then Corona came by and that shut down. But I am excited to have Kartel Madras on the Unfiltered Podcast today. Thank you. What's good, guys?
Happy to have you. What's up?
How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. It's nice to be here.
Hell yeah. Really happy to have you here. So tell us where you're at right now. Go ahead, Contra.
I'm in Calgary, so I'm in Western Canada right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm in Toronto right now, and Toronto is not the capital of Canada, but the unofficial cultural capital of Canada.
Right, right. Is the capital Quebec?
It's Ottawa.
Ottawa. Okay, sorry. Okay, there you go.
That's really funny. I'm going to make a gif of you asking that. Blast it out to Quebec.
That is good. Quebec is part of
France.
Canada's France.
right. Well, that's hilarious. That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about what you guys have been up to during this quarantine. Let's start with Contra. What have you been doing these past few months?
Nothing at all. No. it's interesting. We'd usually be on tour. We're supposed to be in Europe right now. Fuck COVID. But we've been home, kind of just flying back and forth between Calgary and Toronto, doing a lot of recording, shooting a lot of music videos.
Nice.
We've been doing a lot of production stuff. Mm-hmm. So keeping busy, shockingly busy, but not touring.
Makes sense. Just trying to do what we can control right now, right?
Exactly.
That makes sense. How about you, Iboshi? I know she mentioned that, but then right here we've been playing Working, your latest release.
That I see
That just dropped last week, right? So tell me a little bit about that.
Working is really our first single of 2020. Mm-hmm. And it was very much a song and a video that was born out of quarantine, which is really interesting because we've been trying to get a house track going since Housey from our first mixtape. We love hip house. That's a huge part of why we rap in the first place. It's one of our favorite subgenres. And so making Working was really okay, we need to build off the hype of Housey. We want to create the same sort of queer dance track that we did then. And so with the help of Jade, the producer for Working, we came up with that song during quarantine. We came up with the treatment for the video. Nice. We really thought the whole thing through. And then we were lucky enough to get a chance to make it with the help of Pop Culture Berlin, which is a music festival that we were supposed to take part in this August. And so because that festival no longer happened this summer, instead they were we're gonna create this online music video festival and we want you guys to make a music video and it has to be a new song. We're this is a perfect opportunity for us to like actually like bring home this house track and make it happen.
Nice, nice. That's sick. Yeah, I enjoyed that track. It's got a fun vibe to it, all of it. And the video is sick too. Like it's nice. It's really cool.
Thanks. Yeah, we really like that song. It's definitely like very close to our hearts.
Nice. Good job. That's awesome. Okay, cool. So, you know, as I mentioned before, and as well as in previous episodes, the way this show is set up is kind of like a game show. But these games are designed to get to know the guests much better. So we're going to, with that, you know, with that being said, we're going to get started with our first segment called Scavenger Hunt. So Scavenger Hunt, this is a segment where I ask each of the guests to share something, you know, from your room, from your house, something with a story, you know, tell us a little story about something. So let's get started with Eboshi. What do you have for us?
Right. So I have here a DVD, which is really funny. I have a DVD copy of Metropolis, and it's a triple feature. So it's got Nosferatu, The Phantom of the Opera, and Metropolis. Wow. And the funny story behind this was during the sort of the brunt of quarantine, I picked up a lot of time to do like nothing really. And so I sort of like went back and watched a lot of my old favorite movies. And I would go biking a lot because there was nothing else to do. And so like on these like long bike rides and like walks around Toronto, everything is like very, very empty. And you have to like, if you see anyone, you have to be on like the other side of the street. And so like these long bike rides. And then I like was biking through Kensington, and Jade and I found like a bunch of like DVDs just like stacked up somewhere. And we were like, okay, first of all, like, we probably shouldn't touch it, but obviously we touched it. We're like, let's grab some of these free DVDs. And so this was one of them. And it was great because like we picked up like four DVDs that we just watched during the lockdown, which was
nice.
A nice way to pass the time.
Right. Right. Did you get like a good deal on those? Like, was it like a
sale? Free. Like they were like outside. Oh, they were like, sick. You can take how many. It was like a bunch of like books and DVDs. And
so
some of these DVDs.
That's a win. That's awesome. That's cool. How about you, Contra? What do you have to share with us?
I have this Dr. Bronner's hand sanitizer. No, I'm joking. I am sharing this ring. Ooh. So it's a ring of a jaguar.
Whoa.
I actually, like, I mean, it reminds me of touring, and I wear it whenever I'm on stage. And you'll usually find Eboshi and I very decked out in jewelry. I really love my rings, but this one is, like, very much like, you know, my wacko superstition. I wear it all the time on stage. Yeah, nice. Love this one. Reminds me of touring now, too, so I keep wearing it. Hoping
That's really
I'll
cool.
stumble onto a tour during COVID.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Well, I hope everything gets back to that, right?
Yeah.
In the UK, they're trying some different ideas of like little booths for the audience and shit, but that energy is not there. You know, it's just something weird. Really? But
yeah.
Like we're really about live performing, and that's been one of the hardest losses of COVID-19 because like it's nothing really compares to us for like a show that involves like a sweaty mosh pit, people like covered in like drool and sweat and like being really close together and like it being very like high intensity, really gross and grungy. And like none of those things are conducive to a pandemic.
right?
Yeah. Like no one's like, we definitely want you to be sweaty and spitting in a crowd and sharing beers with the performers. Like that's usually the vibe we're going for. And now it's like, everybody stay away from each other. Don't make eye contact if you are not wearing a mask and hand sanitizing every 30 seconds. Like we can't look at each other.
Right. It's crazy, man. The world's become something else. It's nuts.
It's so different. It's so different.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to all get back. So for my scavenger hunt, I wanted to share this audiobook that I've been listening to.
Oh, Kamala Harris.
Yeah, that's Kamala Harris's The Truths We Hold. I figured I'd learn about her struggles and her story a little bit. She's going through something new, a new journey. It's always kind of inspiring to read that, you know, that immigrant story as well, because her mother was Indian. So that was interesting. Yeah, and she spent like a few years in Montreal, of all places. So that was interesting. Oh. She went to high school there. Yeah.
Weird. I did not know that.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's nuts.
We almost lived in Montreal simply because rent is so affordable there compared to Toronto.
So
gave it a shot for a couple months and then came back to Toronto because we were like,
yep.
Yeah, that's good on that.
That's
that.
Makes sense.
Makes sense. That's awesome. Well, you know, quick shout out to all the audience joining us. There's, I think, 300 something people watching on YouTube. Shout out to you guys. Thank you for
what's up,
being
everyone.
Here.
We have no idea. Like, I can't see who's like tuned in.
Yeah, I can't see who's in.
Thank you for joining us.
Well, that's interesting. I thought the guests also get to see the number on the top, but I guess not.
No, we don't. We just see live 11 minutes 45 seconds.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Well, we'll try to go through some of these comments. This Manoj asked, when did you guys start singing? When did you start performing, rapping?
Thank you so much for your question, Manoj. Shout out, Manoj, for that question. Always good to know. In terms of what we do, we're definitely rappers, so we don't sing. But in terms of like music in general and when we started, we've been doing that for as long as we can remember. Essentially, like we've been playing the piano, we've been singing, we've been writing. We used to do a lot of like hip hop adjacent stuff in our own rooms when we were a lot younger, which eventually turned into rapping. We were like, okay, we can't help it. We have to rap.
Nice.
But we kind of became, Cartoon Madras became like officially a thing, I would say, in 2018. And I mean, we've been lucky to immediately, once we kind of started releasing little demos online and being Cartoon Madras, to immediately start doing shows.
Right.
So it's been kind of like a Cartoon Madras has been performing as Cartoon Madras and making music as Cartoon Madras for about 2.5 years now.
Yeah.
Nice. Sick. That's an awesome story. Shout out to Ariful Islam Abir as well, who says, I just discovered Cartoon Madras a couple of days ago and their Gunda Gold's hook is so fire. Shout out from Bangladesh.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
That's so dope. Thank you
so much. Okay, cool. So we will move on to the next segment of the show. It's called Feedback.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
So Feedback, this is a part of the show where I go through your, go way back into your Instagram feed and ask you to tell us what it's all about.
Okay. Joy.
So
should have deleted half of our
show. All right.
Oh my God.
This is the first one. I was curious to know what's going on here. What is it all about?
So this is
baby parents.
Yeah, this is our parents when they're this is probably like the 80s in Chennai. Mm-hmm. So in their, you know, Lowell's house, I think this must be like very soon after they got married.
Yeah, like they were like dating for like, I would say, 2 years before they got married. And then like during the marriage, they had to like pretend to be shy and all of that stuff.
Which was
obviously not the case. Like I read some of the letters they were sending to each other and God, it was not shy.
That's
so
awesome.
It was like, okay, texting, whatever.
Yeah.
But this is like them being like cute and like reserved in front of their families in a very vivid photograph. Obviously not with the pink tint. That was a choice we made. Who knows why?
No, that's awesome. This is a really cool picture. What are their names, can I ask?
We cannot publicize their names.
Okay, that's fair enough.
But I'll tell you after.
For sure, that's all good.
We want to respect our parents' privacy.
Of course. No, of course, that makes sense. Awesome, man. That's an awesome story. The next one. Nope, one second. Boom. Okay. This one. Hello. Where did you take this picture?
That's in Chennai.
This is definitely in Chennai. It's on our Mottamadi, so it's our roof. It's in Chennai, so we're just like chilling behind, like, I think, like on top of like an apartment building. And what's
so interesting about the timeline of this photo is this was in December 2017.
Yeah.
And this was, we were in India, and this was right before we got like the invitation to perform at our first ever show as Cartoonic
Grass. Yeah.
And so like we spent the rest of our trip sort of just like preparing to do this show.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting because it was like we were in India. We got the opportunity to perform at our first festival back in Calgary. And so it was basically like we were done our trip, we came home, and we did our first ever show.
And I'm definitely like, I've stolen my father's shirt and lungi, and I am wearing it.
Yeah, I like that.
True Madras style.
That's a vibe.
Right. That's awesome. All right. Yeah, thanks for the story. I knew there was something behind all of this. And you guys never put too many captions, you know? Like
back then, it was very, very limited.
All right, awesome. And the last one is this. What does that tattoo mean?
So we both have that. So that tattoo means Karta Madras in Tamil.
Oh, okay.
And so like Eboshi has like the tiger that says Madras on it. So when we were in India, we were like, yeah, like, let's do this. You know what I mean? Like, it was just kind of like it was like an honor code tattoo. We're like, we're going to fucking do this now.
It was like, we're going to like totally jump in to making music and being rappers. So,
yeah.
Nice, nice. Like, total commitment. It's that moment of like, fuck it, I'm all in.
Yeah, it's like we're tattooing ourselves now. We're like in our own gang officially. Goodbye, everyone.
Yeah, right. It's like we've always had some tattoos, but like having these specific Karta Madras tattoos made it very real for us.
Yeah.
And so like that moment we're like, okay, like Karta Madras is a real thing. Let's get this. Let's do this. That was the moment. Yeah.
Nice, nice. That's sick. Yeah, I love that. That's a great story. Another quick shout out to all the viewers on YouTube. Tenuki asks, how does it feel to be the hottest rappers in India?
Thank you so much, Tenu.
We're definitely still music babies in India. We're definitely like very, very underground back home in India. But it's been so, so dope to see the support from India, especially like hearing from other Indian musicians. We've been so lucky to work with some of these amazing Malayali trap artists, and we're just, like, so thrilled to be a part of this music community.
Yeah,
because, like, there's this emerging creative scene that specifically involves like hip hop and trap coming out of Kerala, and like we are just thrilled to like have like gotten to know some of these people, made music with them, riffed off of ideas, been able to support each other and like share each other's work. It's really exciting.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. Social Music asks, are you guys Tamil?
Yes. Right. Oh, where did you go? We are half Tamil, half Malayali.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, she's gone.
Okay. So you may, Contra, you may need to exit and come back.
Sorry, I'm back. Can't hear
you. Oh, she's back.
Okay. I can hear you. Okay. Yeah. We're good. Okay, that's
someone sick. Called me and I had to end the call.
I figured. It's all good. It happens. Shout out to the 600 people on YouTube. Love you guys for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in. That's crazy. Hell that's so lit. That's actually so awesome to see you all here. Hell yeah. To see you.
It's amazing. You know, you mentioned Tamil artists. One of the ones that I've been really enjoying lately since last year or so is All Mixed Up, AMU.
AMU.
I think I know.
What's their Instagram handle?
I think it is All Mixed Up.
All Mixed Up?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think they're also Canadian, if I'm not wrong. But we'll
that's get dope. We'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure like we've been keeping a close eye on like all of the other people in the scene. Because like we're always like looking for like new people to work with.
Yeah.
We have an upcoming song coming out this September, I believe.
Ooh. Yeah. With nice. Banger.
It's crazy. It's a new song. It's our first ever like official feature with another artist.
Okay.
And like we've been a feature on a lot of other artists' work before, but this is our first time sort of like attaching
really working with them
with another like singer or rapper and like putting that out with a video and all of that. So we're really excited about that.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. I'm looking forward to it. All right. So we will move forward to the next segment of the show, and it's called Am I Lying? So, Am I Lying? This is a segment of the show where I ask each of you guys to share three things. Two of them are truths and one is a lie, and the others guess which one is a lie. You guys probably know each other very well, so it might be very easy, but I will kick it off with three things. I'm multilingual, so I can speak, I can understand five languages. I can speak a few of those. That's one of my things. Secondly, I should have thought about this a little better.
and it ends.
I have been going to the movies lately, like the theaters. Like I went there for the first time last weekend. And the third thing is, I love listening to music, French hip hop. So, okay. Which one is a lie?
I think the second one's a lie.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, strangely enough, some idiots started going to the movies already. So,
oh my god! Yeah, I was like, why would you?
I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, come on. Like here in like Toronto, they aren't even open yet, mm-hmm. and like if they are, like. Okay, let's all calm down. Let's take a step back from going to the movie theater. But like, I do miss going to the theaters a lot.
Me too. Yeah.
I really, it's something I love deeply, especially for the buttered popcorn, layered buttered popcorn with extra butter.
Yeah.
I usually just go and get that and then drive home. So I haven't been able to do that in 5.5 months.
I love sneaking things into the movies.
That's crooked, but I like it.
Yeah,
because fuck them for charging $12 for a drink.
Absolutely,
that's a classic South Asian thing you've just described there,
dude. Back when we would go to the theater with like our mom, she'd pull out like chapatis and idlis and be like, "Let's eat."
Here we go.
That's hilarious. That is so funny. But you know, it's really funny. But in the US, you know, people are so stupid. They actually started opening movies and shit. You know, although it's less people, you know, they don't fill it up, but it's just retarded.
Whack. Yeah, that's like whack. Yeah.
Very foolish.
Did we need to open up the theater?
Right. It's crazy.
Absolutely
man.
Not.
All right. Iboshi. So what are three things about you? You know, one is a lie.
Okay. Two truths and a lie. Mm-hmm. Whew. It's tough because I saw how badly you bombed just now.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna try my hardest. Okay. I think I have like a really good one. Okay. I really like to this is way harder than I thought. Okay.
Right?
This is really hard. Okay. My favorite type of food is like food from Thailand. My favorite type of food is Szechuan food, or I really like IPAs.
Okay, so obviously one of the food ones are a lie because you gave us two.
I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, either she really likes Thai food or Szechuan food. I will say maybe, I don't know. Both are so good. Szechuan food?
No, Szechuan's my favorite food.
Oh, okay.
Szechuan's my favorite food.
Dang, so you don't like Thai food?
You know, like, I didn't think this out properly because I do really like Thai food, but it's just not my favorite. Like,
that makes sense.
Didn't think that through, but because one would have to be a lie completely, and it's not a lie. It's just, like, not as much of the truth as the second one.
Well, that's cool. You know, you know, the goals of these games are, like, to get to know you better. So now we just got to know three things about you that we didn't know, you know? So that's... that's really cool.
That's true.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. All right. So Contra, what do you think? What do you have for us?
Okay. So my favorite genre of film is action movies. One of my like favorite soundtracks of a Desi movie is Oi Lucky Lucky Oi. And my favorite dish is goat curry.
Oh, okay.
I know the line for this so quickly. It's like so dumb.
I'm guessing goat curry. You don't like goat curry.
No, that's
I love goat curry.
Oh shit! Okay.
I actually hate action movies.
Oh, okay.
yeah.
Really not. Don't care for it at all. not for me.
That's funny.
It's funny what people kind of like think we would really be into because like we do trap music. Like a lot of people think we're like really hard like sports fans, and it's
fans.
I've never watched a game in my life.
I mean, like, I think that one of the funniest assumptions would be like people just assuming that we don't like the things that we like in our spare time, which is like I really like cute girly shit.
Yeah,
like anything pink, I probably own. I really love it. But at the same time, it's like I'll also like totally like cut it up on stage and like
be
harder than your dad. So it's
right. That makes sense. Okay, so if you don't like action movies, what kind of movies do you like?
drama. Actually, I mean, I think honestly, like, I think both of us are super, like, film buffy. Like, we watch a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. It really, like, informs our aesthetic. See, it's weird because it's like, I like gangster movies. I don't like action movies. There's fine difference.
It's like, there's, like, a type of movie. It's like, I will go to the theater and watch, like, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Incredible.
Funny times. I am one of the biggest fans of the James Bond franchise, like a weirdo.
Right. But, I will watch Tarantino, but
yeah,
it's like,
all the
but
time.
There's a type of, it's like, but I will not watch Transformers.
Yeah, like get that away from me. I'm good at every superhero movie ever.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Like, except for Christopher Nolan's Batman. Those are excellent. Christopher Nolan is really fine.
But. Yeah, I'm actually similar about superhero movies. I don't like them for some reason.
Not for me.
And most people will probably be hella shocked, and most of my friends love it, but I'm just always like, man, it's just not believable, bro. Like, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't see Kryptonite. I don't know. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Right? I mean, I did watch Black Panther in theaters twice.
Mm. That's amazing.
I did enjoy that one.
It's an amazing one.
R.I.P.
Rest in peace.
Mr. Boseman.
Yeah.
That's an amazing one. That one's unbeatable. But like, yeah, there's like a couple gems here and there, I think, like within the sort of, I think at this point now, it's like, if you're trying to bring your own like directorial and artistic spin towards superheroes, I'm interested in seeing, because like we've seen it done really well before, especially like with Prince's involvement in Batman in the 80s and with like Christopher Nolan's Batman. Aside from that though, it's like, unless it's going to be like that, then I'm good, because I don't have much interest in those franchises and stories from beforehand.
And that makes sense. Yeah, I'm just reading a comment on YouTube by John Smith. It says, get out, mate. Superhero movies are love.
I'm glad, dude. Absolutely. Enjoy it. Watch it. No one's going to tell you to stop. Especially not right now.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, enjoy.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's right. That makes a lot of sense. You know, this brings me to a question, you know. growing up, like, what did you guys, what kind of music did you guys listen to?
We, you know, I know a lot of people are like, we listen to all types of music. But, like, we really did, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, we were very much, like, making mixtapes at home, figuring out how to DJ parties. Like, that was our whole thing when we were young and now, you know? Right. Like, so we listened to a lot of... We were informed by... There was this kind of ongoing, you know, Tamil and Malayalam, like, music always at home, right? So there was a lot of, like, South Asian music always running in the background.
Sure.
But... From there, you know, we kind of grew up on a mixture of like a lot of like jazz, a lot of like Miles Davis, and then a lot of like MF Doom and like classics like Lauryn Hill and stuff like that.
Yeah, there was definitely like a very eclectic mix of like genres, styles, eras of music, and like obviously, like, we went through, like, very heavy-duty phases where, like, we exclusively listened to, like, J-rock music, Japanese rock music. Mm. We exclusively listened to, like, indie music. And we, like, spent, like, a lot of time just, like, listening to indie music. And then, like, I would say that, like, we have had so much of, like, different music genres, artists, composers sort of, like, filter in through every aspect of our lives because we're always trying to, like, soundtrack every moment with like what we think fits with it perfectly. Right. And a lot of that has to do with like our great love of like film and art and those things all synthesizing together. So like every type of music has been, but like, but what we'll say is that like the stuff we don't like, we really don't like.
Right.
And like, that would be sort of like how to sort of differentiate between like all of these different genres and like moments in music history that we're like deeply passionate about versus like, I don't listen to that. I never will.
Yeah. Well, nice. That's awesome. So do you think your like, you know, multiple interests of, you know, different genres like play a major role in the music that you make today?
Totally. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think the fun thing about us is if you're not always hearing it, you'll see it in our aesthetic. You know what I mean? You'll see it in our videos. You'll see it in our personality, right? Yeah. Like, it, we're definitely people who are like children of the culture that we like obsess over. So you do hear that kind of mix of like punk and house and trap. But then when you watch our videos, it's very flashy, it's very cinematic, you know, which is kind of an ode to kind of loving movies as much as we do and being very neurotic about them as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Love it. All right, so next we will go on to the next segment of the show, and it's called Social Undistancing. So social undistancing, this is a part of the show where, you know, so today everybody's pretty much socially distancing themselves. But in this segment, I try to get people to undistance and get to know each other a little bit better. So in this segment, we ask each other questions and, you know, you guys can choose whatever you want to answer. And so I'll get started. I'll be the first to ask Eboshi, what are, you know, when you were a teenager, can you talk about a, you know, challenge that you had and, you know, you overcame it and you were much better after that, you know? That's my question.
My sister knows why I'm laughing. Because there's really only, like, one story I can tell about me being a teenager.
Okay.
Which is, it's pretty funny, you know, it's like typical, like, I'm a teenager. But I was like... I was really on one when I was in high school, and I was like really, really like a huge nerd. That's the best way I can describe it. I was like a really big nerd in high school, but in like a very, how do I put it, douchebaggy way. I was like an extremely ridiculous douchebag. But yeah, like a big challenge that I had in high school was definitely just like, I had this like really huge crush on like a high school teacher of mine, and it was just like blown way out of proportion. Like all of my friends knew about it. My sister knew about it. Like my parents knew about it. And I was just like, how am I going to make this work? Like, how am I going to make this happen? And it's like, you don't, because you don't. You don't make this work happen. You go to school, you come home, you graduate, and then you leave. But like, yeah, you know, just like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do about this?
She did spend entire semesters like strategizing on this
like,
whole
what
thing.
I was going to do. It was like such a next level crush that I was like, it like really like, it like fueled into my writing. I wrote a lot of raps about it. I wrote a lot of music in general about it. Wow. Wrote a lot of poetry about it. And then like in retrospect, it's like, okay, the cringe levels are through the roof. The embarrassment is high now. But at the time, I was like, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to make this work? Like, what am I going to wear? What am I going to say? What am I going to, like, name drop today to showcase that I am an intellectual of a teenage girl? Like, it was...
That's hilarious.
Funny more than challenging.
we're all such funny people when we were teenagers, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. Just a whole other person. That's awesome. So Contra, do you have a question for Eboshi?
Question not related to this story, just generally.
Yeah, yeah, just any question. So in this segment, usually the guests each ask each other questions.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Okay. What would you, if like right now, like the pandemic was gone, right, in Toronto, what would be the first thing you go do tonight?
Nice. A couple things. Like, I'll give you a whole day of all of the things I would do.
Yeah, let's do that.
I would go and eat food. I would go and get my nails done. Like, this is really bad. Like, I've really let it get away from me. My nails look horrible. So I'll go do that so that I have, like, a nice base to start my evening with. And then I would go eat a Cuban sandwich at La Cubano. The sandwiches are amazing. I would love to just eat one right now. I'm starving. And then I would go to, like, there's, like, a couple, like, granted, this is like a non-pandemic situation where you are allowed to go from place to place. Now, right now, obviously, don't be doing that. But I would probably go to like the Horseshoe Tavern. It's a nice like divey bar.
What?
There. You know how I feel about like a dingy kind of bar. I would also then go eat again at maybe like a really nice spot in Chinatown, get some Chinese food going.
Nice.
And then if I'm thinking about like where I'd want to like spend my evening, I would probably try and like hit up a dope like, club, try and like have a nice time there, get pretty lit, drink a lot, talk to a bunch of people, socialize in the way we used to socialize, which was really fun. Just talking to a lot of people, seeing them, hugging. There was a lot of hand holding and hugging in the past, which I don't know when we'll get to do that again.
Probably never come back.
Probably we'll never get to hug again because it's just not allowed. But
elbows.
Yeah. Like there's this thing happening in Toronto right now where like you can go to like a club and you can like sort of rent out this area and sit there. And it's like, that's never been what I've wanted to do at a club anyways.
Right.
So, okay. I guess we can sit at a club and pretend we're having dinner. But yeah, I mean, I know these venues are trying to be open again really soon because they've lost so much money.
True.
And so like really my deepest sympathies to them. And like, I appreciate the fact that they've been really like resilient through these times. And a lot of them have had to just shut down anyways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just like putting some business back into these like venues, clubs, bars, make sure they can stay open.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. So Contra, your turn. So let me ask you a question. Who do you think is the better rapper, you or Eboshi?
I have an answer for this. I think I was having this conversation actually with a friend of mine literally like 2 days ago, and we were like talking about like
Okay, you have to tell me who this is so I can beep him up later.
It's just Jamar.
Okay.
No, but we were talking about like flow versus persona versus attack versus lyricism. And I feel like that's how I look at a rapper, right? Mm-hmm, like I look at those four things and I feel like I think we're both very good at all four, but I think there's things of that Eboshi is better at. And there's things of that. Because I think Eboshi has more attack than me and more persona. I think like those are, she beats me on that. Whereas I think I'm more of a flow rapper, right? Awesome. And I think we're equal parts on lyricism.
Right, okay. Right.
Yeah, because I notice it when we're like, because I think like Eboshi's real kind of like, very much like attack and personality. You really hear that even when she's like recording and performing. Mm-hmm. I think like I'm very much like a flow energy of the song type of rapper. I really like riding the beat a certain way.
Nice.
I think we're both very good lyricists. Yeah, I think we're both very good lyricists. So nice. I wouldn't, yeah.
That's cool. So let me ask you a follow-up question. Like, do you guys write together or do you write separately? What's your process like when you record a new song?
We write our verses separately.
Okay.
And then we kind of come together for the hook. And usually it's like, you know, we get thousands of beats from people. And then sometimes we'll kind of hear the one that we're like, this is the one we're going to workshop. Or like, or, you know, in the case of something like working, that was like someone from our collective where Jide kind of creates the beat with us in mind. And we're kind of workshopping it even before we start writing to it, right? Like it's from the get, which is like a very different experience than just like there's a beat and we're like, okay, let's make a song from this raw beat, right? But we write our verses separately because I don't think we'd be able to perform each other's verses. We have tried and it's very weird.
yeah, when we try and do each other, because like we write differently, like a hook we can come together on,
right?
But like if we try to like read the other person like what they've written to a beat, which is their verse, it's very difficult for us, which is why like no one else can write for us, like it's literally so impossible. Like we have such a distinct way of putting our voice in what we write that like if someone was to try and be like, hey, do you want to like try my rap, it's like, first of all, no thank you, that's not what we do here, you can take that way. But second of all, it's like that's really tough, dude. Yeah.
That's funny. That's nice. Thank you for sharing. I love hearing the process, you know. Eboshi, do you have a question for Contra?
Let me think. What was like the most hilarious tour memory you have?
Ooh, great question. Love that.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a few. A really quick one was we were in Montreal and we like walked out of our show and like this guy came up to us with like a mic in his hand and he was like, are you guys Cartoon Madras? I don't know why that's so funny to me, but whenever people fuck up our name, it's so hilarious. Another really, you know what's really funny with tours? I'll say this. We are so lucky because we have some like fire tours now, you know what I mean? And lined up for like 2021. But like when you're starting off, it really is a mixed bag. And like sometimes you're like, whoa, this show's gonna be crazy. And then you like get there and it's like literally like a pop-up podium in the middle of like a field and there's like families sitting there.
It's like one person with like a baby stroller.
Yeah, and you're like, how am I gonna do this? My funniest tour memories are really those. It's where we perform cringily. And we're like, and you come off stage and you're like, I really hated every minute of that.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
but it makes you like an excellent performer.
Yeah, like to That's be able true. To engage with any type of audience is a must. Right. But if they're like, we've been really lucky to like be on like amazing bills, amazing festivals, go to Stick Cities where we like already have people that have been listening to us. That's really dope. Eternal gratefulness for all of those experiences. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But like alongside that, like we've had, you know, like the occasional here is a stage and there, this is a 2 p.m. set in the middle of nowhere. So like,
yeah,
let's see who shows up. Let's see.
Oh, there's a really good one. We were on tour in, we were in Winnipeg and we were performing and there was this woman at the front and we were like rapping and we were rapping like very clearly like lyrics about being Indian. Like we were like, bitch, we from India, la 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 la, right? And then like she was like, where are you from? And then we were like, and we were like, we're from India. And then we kept going. And then she was like, where are you from?
Yeah, in the middle, we finished our song and we were
and
like,
and then we stopped the set. We're like, bitch, we're from India. Do you not hear like, the fucking song?
What part is it clicking, bro? Like, what is up? Oh my god,
that's a good
so
one.
Funny.
That's hilarious, you know. And you know, I'm glad you guys shared that because you know, for so many artists, you know, it takes that like performing in front of less number of people or like you know the audience that you didn't expect to perform at the 10,000 venue people.
Totally,
you know what I mean?
Like, totally.
It's amazing.
It's funny because I think like sometimes like I've been with people who are like, oh, I hope not a lot of people come. And like we're like, what do you mean?
Nightmare.
Like it's
nightmare.
Like it's like
that's a nightmare
I feel
for
like
me.
We like I think we were like geared to perform from the start. That is like we were like set to do that, and we were set to do it for large venues, and like our music is designed for that sort of atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So it's always been great, which is why those like venues where there's like, you know, there's a marketing fuck up and then like, mm-hmm. you know, people don't know when the set time is and
time
then like
change, like
time change. And then not everyone who's there to see you is has arrived and you have to perform to like 20 people. And it's
that,
like
are just
horrifying.
There. Yeah. Like yeah. that's when it like is a huge, not even a bummer, but it's like, okay. It's like, you have to like get it together and like put on the show regardless. It's yeah. like, the show must go on.
Also, you know, PSA to people who go to these shows and your artist friends, you know, they're just starting out and they're like performing and like no one's in the audience. Don't take a video of them. Don't take
yeah,
a video.
What is that behavior?
Like, I see it all the time. I see it for like smaller artists and like other people are like, they take the artist and then they like turn the camera around to the audience and there's one guy just rocking out. It's like, don't do that.
Like we see this like sometimes like, it's like, get the artist, get them on stage, get them doing their magic. Absolutely.
Yeah, you like zoom into them.
If it's a huge crowd, absolutely. Like we love to see it. But like if it's an empty venue and there's two people that are like best friends.
Don't promote
with
that show.
It's like they'll like turn the camera to show them. And it's just like, dude, like
that's embarrassing.
Have you ever seen like show footage? It's not supposed to look like that. What are you thinking?
Right. That's hilarious. That's awesome. You know, while we're talking about all this, can you tell me a little bit about like the greatest show memory? You know, you guys shared some of these you know, other ones, but like, what was the best one, like ever, you know, like, you want more of that one?
There's been some incredible shows. Like one that I'll say for sure, like I have a good story memory and I know that like Contra does too.
Yeah.
Like we got to open for Cupcake in Montreal and like that show was just unbelievable.
It was crazy.
Cupcake's audience has a lot of like crossover with our audience. There's a lot of like young people, a lot of like people in the LGBTQ plus community, a lot of like BIPOC individuals that love like hip hop and also love just like crazy wild venues and shows. And so opening for Cupcake was like a perfect sweet spot for us really early in our career to see like, this is the amount of people that we thrive in. And this is the type of like audience that like brings out best in us. It was like one of the hypest shows, huge stage, beautiful sound system. But despite all of that, we will still always have a great show. Mm-hmm. But because that was also there, like the audience just like clicked with us perfectly. They were crazy. They were so wild and like hype. And like we did this was an earlier version of our set too, because this was just before Trapistan had come out. Mm-hmm. So it was just an amazing sort of like experiment for us too, to like test out all of this material with what is essentially someone else's fan base, mm-hmm, and to see it register in like perfect harmony with who these people are and who they're about to see was like one of those like 10 out of 10 show experiences.
Yeah. One of mine was like, this is super early, but this was like 3 months after we began being Cartels. So like we had done our first show and it was like a smaller show and we were applying to a very big festival in Western Canada called Sled Island. And we really didn't have any music. Like we applied with a demo and a pitch and we're like, yeah, we'll be good, right? And they were like,
we promise, yeah, we'll be good.
And then they were like, okay, like, fine. So they gave us like, there's this venue here called Legion. So we were upstairs at Legion and it was a midnight set and we were opening for Shabazz Palaces, mm-hmm, and who was like one of the festival headliners. And I think like the show was so crazy because it got sold out pretty fast. And there was so much kind of like hype around who we were in the city. Like there was so much people were talking about it because we were 3 months fresh, mm-hmm, that it was like, I remember us performing and there was like literally like just people standing on tables, like just packed, right, to see us. And it's a crazy show because this was the show that we basically got discovered at, because the people we opened for Shabazz Palaces, Ishmael Butler from Diggable Planets, he later on went on to sign us to Sub Pop. Mm. So it was just one of those iconic moments like in your career where we had a crazy show and then we like got off stage and ran to the next stage because we wanted to see the opener, just to see the headliner, right? So we were like watching his show after, and then we were like, oh, like, wow, it's been so lit to like be so early in our career, yeah, to get this, yeah, venue, right? And then, you know, a month later, like he reaches out and he's like, hey, I've been watching you guys since that show. And I was like, oh, yeah. And you know, we'll go on to get signed because of this show.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's an awesome story. I like that one. Really cool. Thank you for sharing. So this segment is brought to you guys by Tsunomi, South Asia's first first music distribution company focused on South Asian artists globally. Can't believe there was nothing like this before. But now we have it. So the tagline is independence is priceless. So I want to ask you guys a question about independent artists, man. You know, you guys have, faced a lot of challenges, overcome a lot of challenges. You've seen, you know, the independent hustle. You've seen the hustle with the record label behind you. You've seen all of it. What are like, three things you could say to an independent artist who's watching this, you know, like three pieces of advice that you could have? And
right,
you know, let's start with Contra. She seems like she's got something.
I would say, and this is to independent artists, even if you're signed to a smaller record label, right? Like, if you have control, right, over your artistry, if you're at that level, right, I would say one of the most important things is know who you are and know who your brand is. So like doubling down on your kind of messaging and who you are and specifically kind of what you're bringing to the table instead of throwing a really wide net, right? Like where you're like, I rap, thus I'm just going to rap and throw a wide net. I think having something like knowing your skill and knowing like what it is that makes you you and knowing what your brand is. And that could be like your aesthetic. That could be like maybe who you're speaking to, the demographic you're rapping towards, or maybe even like kind of like your identity piece, whatever that might be. But I think knowing your brand and really focusing on it and really like strengthening it is going to set you apart.
Nice. I love that advice.
Absolutely.
I love that. Yeah. Know yourself, know your brand. That's beautiful. It's awesome. Eboshi, do you have something to add to that?
Yeah. I would say like this sort of like goes like part and parcel with that, which is like, absolutely do not compromise on like your artistry and what you're trying to do. It's like, first, like know what you're trying to do, make sure you have what you need to succeed with that, which includes like not just the resources, but sort of like the mental wherewithal, because like it's a really tough industry. You need to have a thick skin, and like you need to realize that like there is a huge difference between like good faith criticism and bad faith criticism. And like good faith criticism is someone being like, yo, I think you're really talented and I think you should work on these things and improve on those, because that is how you can use their criticism to elevate your craft. Versus like bad faith criticism is just like, oh, you're just a dumb thought. And it's like, rock on, enjoy your life, dude. Cause like, especially like as women in the industry, we get a lot of bad faith criticism, and like being able to filter the two is invaluable. Or else you will lose your mind and you won't be able to decipher like what's true about your own abilities. Having that basis of confidence and like, I know this is what I'm good at. I know this is why I'm doing it. And I know this is why I've like reached these milestones thus far. And none of the bad faith criticism can take away from that. You can just really tune out like what's not worth listening to and when someone's like coming at you with something valuable.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome. I love that. It's great pieces of advice from both of you. Thank you for sharing. You know, that's very valuable for the, you know, for the new artists and for just for any artist at all. So that's really cool. Thank you. So we're going to go to the next segment of the show. This is the final segment. It's called Playlist Placement. So playlist placement, at Desi Hip Hop, we curate a number of playlists in different genres and stuff. So we listen to music all day, every day. And in this segment, I ask you, the guests, to tell us, what are you guys listening to right now? It can be any genre. It can be just whatever you like right now. It can it could even be even your own music. So let's start with Eboshi. What are you listening to on your playlist right now?
Right now, I have a playlist called Working. And in it is our song Working, which I've been listening to quite frequently since its release, because I do actually just really like that song and I'm really pleased with how it sounds. So I've been listening to our song Working a lot. I've also been listening to a lot of like Channel Trey's, Steve Lacy, that's always in my playlist rotation. There's this like new house group that I just found that I've been listening to a lot. I forgot their name, but in this playlist called Working that I made, there's a lot of like other house songs that sort of like fit into the vibe of Working. And a lot of it is just from like, if you go on Spotify and you go on the radio for a track, it plays like other things that are like suggested algorithmically. And I found that like a lot of the stuff suggested for Working is like actually fire and like really great music too. So that's up there.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely check out that playlist. How about you? Contra.
So like Eboshi, I kind of like, we tend to make our playlist of our own every week, curating our life. I am listening a lot to Alfredo by Freddie Gibbs. I am listening to a lot of stuff from Jhede, who produced Working. So he has a project coming up. So I've been kind of listening to a lot of his music that isn't out yet. So a lot of, you know, UK style production. I love Icy Twat. Been listening to a lot of old Playboi Carti that has really, really like set up my whole pandemic, and a lot of vintage Ethiopian jazz.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I definitely got to check out some Ethiopian jazz because I love jazz. I just got to check that out.
There really is nothing that sounds like Ethiopian jazz. It's incredible. I will send you a playlist that I have
made. Please do. Please do. I'm excited about that. That sounds really fun. Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for sharing that. We are pretty much at the end of our show. You know, right before we end, I just want to ask each of you, like, do you have a, you know, last message for the audience? Just something you want to leave them with? Eboshi, let's start. You know what? I've just been picking Eboshi first in each of these segments. So let's start with Contra this time.
For sure.
Thank you guys for watching. We're going to have just so many, we're going to have a single coming out every month starting now. We have a really dope song coming out, with, a young trap singer-songwriter named GWS. Glenn, he is originally from Kerala, and now he's based out of LA. So that song's going to actually come out in like 3 weeks. We're super excited. I think the trailer will drop tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, guys, rock on. Desi Hip Hop. You guys have been supporting. It's lit.
Awesome. I'm glad you shared that. Eboshi, your turn.
Yeah, for real. So nice to be here with everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We can't wait to share with you our upcoming music. We're really stoked on it. And then, yeah, stay tuned for what we have coming out. It's going to be like something new every month. Yeah. And it's going to just like, we're going to pump it out. And then we're going to like get to work on this next EP. And it's going to be totally different. We're really excited about it.
Nice, nice. I'm excited as well. Well, thank you guys for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Appreciate your time and appreciate your music as well. It's amazing. It's sick. It's different. You know, ever since you dropped Gunda Cartel, I was like, whoa, shit. You know, Gunda Gold. My bad. Gunda Gold. I was like, holy shit. Look at this video. This is nuts. But so thank you guys for doing what you do. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Definitely keep in touch. Send me that playlist. I'm excited to hear.
Yeah. I'm going to.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. And shout out to the audience. Thank you guys for watching. Love the comments. Go check out tsunomi.io if you're distributing music. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.
DJ Raff, what up, yo? Facey Hip Hop General. Check. Unfiltered. Con artist. New York City. Yo. We ain't cloud chasing, we about facing the devil. You about hating, we about raising up people levels. Ain't no doubt, Mason, I'm building upward, you seeking trouble. I'm out waiting, caught in the matrix, but keep my hustle. The devil whispered, but I come mentally with the muscle. When the rebels fit and sink us, since all of these kids with bubbles. Still I meditate and lift my dimensions while preaching love. I won't hesitate to rip you a